Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today we're going to continue in our study in the Scripture. Last time we left off in 2 Samuel. I thought I'd pick up here with a little commentary from our good friend, Matthew Henry. He writes, "When David's project of fathering the child upon Uriah himself failed, so that in process of time Uriah would certainly know the wrong that had been done to him, to prevent the fruits of his revenge, the devil put it into David's heart to take him off, and then neither he nor Bathsheba would be in any danger. What prosecution could there be when there was no prosecutor?" Suggesting further that when Uriah was out of the way, Bathsheba might, if he pleased, be his own forever. Adulteries have often occasioned murders, and one wickedness must be covered and secured with another. The beginnings of sin are therefore to be dreaded, for who knows where they will end. It is resolved in David's breast, which one would think could never possibly have harbored so vile a thought, that Uriah must die. That innocent, valiant, gallant man, who is ready to die for his prince's honor, must die by his prince's hand. David has sinned, and Bathsheba has sinned, and both against him, and therefore he must die. David determines he must. Is this the man whose heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt? But ah, how changed! Is this he that executed judgment and justice to all his people? How can he now do so unjust a thing? See how fleshly lusts war against the soul, and what devastations they make in that war. How they blink the eyes, harden the heart, sear the conscience, and deprive men of all sense of honor and justice. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and quite loses it. He that doth it destroys his own soul. From Proverbs chapter 6. But as the eye of the adulterer, so is the hand the murderer seeks concealment. But as the eye of the adulterer, so the hand of the murderer seeks concealment. Works of darkness hate the light. When David bravely slew Goliath, it was done publicly, and he gloried in it. But when he basely slew Uriah, it must be done clandestinely, for he is ashamed of it. And well he may. Who would do a thing that he dare not own? The devil, having a poisonous serpent, put it into David's heart to murder Uriah. As subtle serpent, he puts into his head how to do it. Not as Absalom slew Amnon, by commanding his servants to assassinate him, nor as Ahab slew Naboth by suborning witnesses to accuse him, but by exposing him to the enemy, a way of doing it which, perhaps, would not seem so odious to conscience and the world, because soldiers expose themselves, of course. If Uriah had not been in that dangerous post, another must. He has, as we say, a chance for his life. If he fights stoutly, he may perhaps come off. And if he die, it is in the field of honor, where a soldier would choose to die. And yet all this will not save it from being a willful murder of malice prepense. So we pick up here. And it came to pass in the morning, 2 Samuel 11, verse 14, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the battle, of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, When thou hast made of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, Wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when you did fight? Knew you not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why went ye nigh to the wall? Then say to thy servant, Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went, and he came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, Surely the men prevailed against us, and came out unto us in the field, and we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, Thus shalt thou say to Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah her husband was dead. She mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased Yahuwah, the Lord. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich, and the other poor. The rich had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and it drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Then there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Now that's anger, because for theft, even the law of God does not call for the death of the thief, but it calls for him to repay it back manyfold time, two times, seven times, depending on the circumstance. So you can see the anger of David, the rage that leads him to come to this conclusion, to desire this man that he die after Nathan brings him this story. He shall surely die, David continues, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. So we see the story of the man who had the single ewe lamb, of course, referring to Uriah the Hittite and his one wife. And of course, the rich man who had many flocks and herd, referring to David, who the Lord says he gave him his master's wives. Saul's wives were now David's wives. Not to mention, as we went through the narrative here in Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, we counted up 8 wives that we know of that David already had before he became king and when he became king. And then add to that, he has a flock by comparison. So David pronounces judgment on himself without knowing it. And certainly David's judgment, the judgment he receives, is worse than the judgment he pronounced upon himself. It perhaps would have been easier to have your property taken to restore, but you can't restore to a dead man, can you? There's no way to restore once you take someone's life. Death would be easier than to face the things that David is going to face, perhaps at that time. That's my own commentary, my own feeling, because I know what David was facing, not because he took another wife, as many preach, or because he took a second wife, which many preach in error, but because he committed adultery and he covered it up with murder. So we'll continue here. Nathan says to David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you," and we read all the eyes what God did. "I gave you your master's house. I gave you your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah." And he says, "I would moreover have given thee such and such things." And practically saying, "I would have given you anything you asked for, David." Of course, anything lawful. If he had asked for the wife of another man, of course, God is not going to give him that which is lawful. If he's asking, of course, he's not going to ask the Lord that which he knows is unlawful. But God is telling David, "I would have given you anything you wanted, such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." And we see here that the Heavenly Father, that Yahuwah, directly imputes the death of Uriah the Hittite to murder at the hand of David by the sword of the children of Ammon. He continues, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house." See, this was the reason, regardless of what many men falsely assert, that because David took his second wife, that it brought trouble to his house. Just being married can bring trouble to your house. Life brings troubles. Life is full of trials and tribulations. That's just part of life. But this is the curse upon David for his sin of adultery and murder. And it's merciful. David's learned the hardest lesson of his life to this point, and the hardest lesson, perhaps, that he learned in his whole life. And I would proclaim, yes, I, like David, I want to be a man after God's own heart. I would like that title, like David. And holding up this man before me and being able to see his faults and his gross error and the severe punishment that he received in the flesh for his error is a warning to me, is a warning to us all. It is an exhortation to us, all of us that have a heart or are men after God's own heart. We need to watch our step, and that's why I read those words from Matthew Henry. The beginning of sin is what we need to watch for, because we never know where it's going to lead. We need to nip it in the bud. And like I say, if you'll memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13, "For there is no temptation except such as is common to man, but God is faithful." And I say hallelujah to that, because he is faithful. And we can count on it. It means we can count on that saying, God is faithful, but with the temptation, he also provides a way of escape. He will always provide a way of escape. We just have to be trained to look for it. And if you aren't trained to look for it, well, ask him. If you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? No, he won't. If you say, "Teach me obedience, teach me to see the way of escape, teach me to take the way of escape," he will teach it to you. He will not give you a stone when you ask for bread. He is the perfect Father. Let's read the judgment. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Listen to that. David committed adultery, and what does God say? What is he saying to us? When we do those things that are prohibited by his law, he says that we despise him. The law was nailed to the cross. You can sin every week. Just go to your confessor, or perhaps confess it with words of repentance rather than actual repentance, carrying the cross, putting to death the deeds of the flesh. No, when you sin, and when you willfully sin, he says you despise him. He says, because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this sun. That means for the whole world to see. The whole world is going to see your shame, David. You did what you did in darkness. You did what you did in secret. But the whole world is going to see your sin. That's why we have it written here in this book. The whole world forever is seeing the sin of David. The man after God's own heart. The man after whom the Son of God is called the Son of David. At the same time, we learn from David's life that at the same time that our Heavenly Father will chastise us severely for our shortcomings, because he does love us. At the same time, he will bless us endlessly for our faith, that his love and his mercy is without end. There is much to be learned from the life of David, many warnings to be taken. We need to be careful, men, that we don't allow ourselves to fall into sin. You see, the repercussions not only touch David, but they touched his whole family, his wives, his children, and even his children's children. If you love God, Yahshua, Jesus said, you keep my commandments. Love is keeping his commandments. If you love your wives, and if you love your children, guess what you'll do? You'll keep his commandments, because love is keeping his commandments. When David broke the commandments, it was the opposite of love. It was hate. And that hatred went to his whole household. Sin has repercussions. Ignoring the law of God has repercussions. Let us walk circumspectly. Let us consider our way. And let us pray that our Heavenly Father, by his Holy Spirit, will teach us obedience, that he will show us the way of escape, that he will give us the strength to take it. Fall down 7 times and get back up, but learn how to walk. And when you see yourself slipping, perhaps you'll learn to catch your balance before you fall on your face and you are hurt and many others are hurt. This life is serious business. Our Heavenly Father gives us so much good, so much pleasure, so much rest, and so much beauty to go with it. Let us never seek the pleasure where our Heavenly Father does not give it. Let us continue. He said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And as we go through the scripture and we see the trouble in David's house, let us remember the words, the pronouncement of judgment and what it is for. Let us never forget. For thou did it secretly. He says, it shall be your neighbor. And even his own children, are your closest neighbors, are your own family, your own sons. And we see that demonstrated here. Shall lie with your wives in the light of this sun, for thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And we'll see what David's response is when we return from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.